Through Mala's eyes, life in an Inuit community. Mala talks with his Atatacha about hunting and camping.
Hi, it's Mala here. When I stopped by, my grandparents said my Nanakchak was cooking a caribou stew with lots of tasty chunks of caribou. The whole kitchen smelled delicious. Maybe I can get my Atatacha to tell me some of his stories, I think to myself. And so I begin. Just before sunset today, my tata came back from hunting. My tata's been away for only 2 nights. But he says he was able to go a very long distance over the frozen sea ice because of his snowmobile. Could you tell me, Atatacheq, how you used to go hunting before we had snowmobiles? Grandfather puts down a piece of greenish soapstone he had been carving. That is starting to look something like a walrus, and says, in our way of doing things, traditional and modern hunting methods are fairly similar. We still hunt all the animals that we did centuries ago, like caribou, seal, walrus, and others. The only differences are that we are no longer nomads, and some of our tools have been modernized. Now that we live in communities, we don't follow our next meal around. But we still hunt for specific animals when they're in season. We, meaning those of us who have tasted the nomadic life, adds Grandfather, a bit sadly, still long to roam freely over the land. Grandfather is quiet for a time, churning the soapstone over and over in his weathered hands. He is examining it to see how he is going to tease the walrus out of such a solid chunk of stone. One thing that hasn't changed is our hunting responsibilities, he finally says. Before you go out hunting, Mala, the most important thing to remember is to tell someone what you're going to hunt, and which direction you're going to take. This is terribly important. That way, if you stay out longer than usual, someone will always come and check on you. That's responsibility number one. In winter, if you're nowhere near a cabin, you must be prepared to build a small igluviak to stay in overnight. So, you must carry your panna, your igluviak building knife, with you at all times. Don't leave home without it. That's responsibility number two. Traditionally, hunting was our way of life. We did not go camping. We set up campsites in our hunting areas, one or several camps during summer and winter. And we lived there doing all the preparations of caribou and seal skins there as well. Today, as you know, camping is a popular family activity. It is mostly done from late spring or early summer, right into the late autumn. But this depends so much on what animals are available and what the weather is like. Some Inuit nowadays, he continues, have their own more or less permanent cabins on their chosen sites. They will strike off from their cabin using it as a sort of base camp to do some nomadic camping, often carrying canvas tents on their backs as they go. But nobody stays out on the land as long as we used to do. Now, with our snowmobiles and all-terrain four-wheelers, we can come and go to and from the community more or less as we please. Years ago, we used to travel by dog team in winter. Chamuti were pulled by dogs with harnesses. Today, we rely on snowmobiles to get around. They're much faster, but there are pros and cons to both ways of traveling. Dog teams take more time, and you need lots of dog food. Also, you have to keep the dogs in good shape for the hard demands of pulling a sled over the ice and snow. But he pauses, looking up from his carving emphatically. There's a most important lesson to this. Dogs will get you home, even in a blizzard. Today, dog teams are used mostly for tourists and for competitive games. The snowmobile goes fast and gets you to where you want to go in no time. It is also noisy and needs to be fed, just like dogs. Only its food is oil and gas. But in a blizzard, Mala, a snowmobile doesn't know how to get you home. When you are lost on a tundra, speed doesn't matter. And, he adds, if your snowmobile breaks down or runs out of gas, you must live by your wits. In the summertime, we use our canoes and motorboats for hunting and traveling. Putting outboard motors on them means now we can get places faster, he says, smiling again as he continues carefully chiseling delicate grooves into the soapstone walrus's flippers. In the past, Inuit still used a kayak, a long, slender, light and buoyant boat. Some Akukitumit, as we call the people of Kalit Nunanit, Greenland, still use them today. Good ideas die hard, says grandfather. You would think a kayak can carry only one person, but it will transport four others as well. Slender people and children slip down inside with their heads toward the entrance hole. Two others lay on their stomachs on top of the kayak. They had to face and hold on to the frame of the entrance hole for dear life. You didn't want to risk it when the waters got rough. If you were not crossing a vast stretch of choppy water between islands, you paddled in close to the shoreline. Others in your party walked along the shore, following you to your next destination. When I was a boy, our trap boat, a 10-meter wooden boat run by a diesel engine, was used to transport about 5 to 6 households and all of their belongings between campsites. We were following whichever animals were plentiful, like beluga whales on the coast or fish going upriver to spawn. In my grandfather and grandmother's time, they used to travel from one campsite to another by umiak. These were shaped like wooden boats, but instead had harbor sealskins as their shell. Mostly women, children, and elders used to travel in them, while the men would follow, lead, or hunt in their kayaks along the way. When the water was flat and there was no danger, an elderly man would man the rudder for the woman who would row the umiak. But if there was either rough or shallow water or loose ice, the captain would man the rudder. Well, that's about it, says grandfather, who is starting to wrap up his walrus carving in an old handkerchief. He begins putting away his tools and says, grandmother's going to serve me my supper. Would you like to stay, Mala, for some caribou stew?
This recording is a production of Aboriginal Affairs and Northern Development Canada, and is based on texts within Through Mala's Eyes, Life in an Inuit Community, a learning resource.